translation. The great saint Narada said, "Thus, Lord Nrisingadev was pacified by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger, and being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances, he spoke as follows." Responsibly, please. The great sage Narada said, "Thus, Lord Nrisingadev was pacified by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger, and being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances, he spoke as follows." Purport. The word Nirguna is important. The Mayavadi philosophers accept the absolute truth as Nirguna or Nirakara. The word Nirguna refers to one who possesses no material qualities. The Lord, being full of spiritual qualities, gave up all his anger and spoke to Prahlad. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Sinomne. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pachone, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschati Deshitarne, Vanchikalpa Jupasa, Kripa Sindhavyevita, Patitam Pamanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo, Namo Namaha. When I joined the movement, it was very nice to get a purport like this, because one of our favourite pastimes, besides eating prasadam, was called Mayavadi bashing. When I joined, most young people had some idea of Mayavadi philosophy. Many people who came to the movement had already been studying many books by Baba Ramdas and such people, and so-called spiritual people. And we spent a lot of our time arguing with such people. Of course, they do say, when it comes to arguing, there's two rules. I don't know if many devotees know these, but the two first rules of arguing is know when to and know when not to. Many times I see devotees arguing with someone, and I go past and I sort of think, don't bother wasting your time. Don't bother wasting your time. There's enough to do to spread Krishna consciousness. And you're so involved in what you're arguing about that you're not actually seeing that the person's not going to take it in. Have a look at the person, you know. You can see if they're not ready to take it. The second rule of arguing is to know what you're arguing about. Ever got yourself into an argument, and after a bit you say, what are we arguing about? Because it goes from one thing to the other. Before you know it, you've forgotten what you're arguing about, so you have to know what you're doing. So Srila Prabhupada does mention that we, generally the Mayavadis, not always, but generally, they're not so interested in listening. Therefore, why waste your time and energy getting absorbed in such an argument? However, he does say, when there's opportunity, one must come forward and preach very vigorously and defeat them, especially if we're in front of other people. If we're on the street and it's just one person, there's one person in the temple raving Mayavadi, ignore them. But if you ignore in front of people, it might not look very good, right? Therefore, sometimes if you can defeat someone in front of someone, that can be very impressive for the crowd, right? So therefore, we have a duty to do that. I was actually thinking, I'm actually, as you know, I'm preaching in schools, and often nowadays it's a lot more young children, so I don't often get opportunity to preach on a very intellectual level, not so much as it used to be occasionally. I mean, we work with students as well, but not as much as I'd like. So I was thinking, you know, I might be very proud, but if I met a real Mayavadi, would I be prepared? Would I be prepared to, could I actually defeat them? Of course, in one sense, Mayavadi is everywhere. So my preaching in schools, the most of the work is against Mayavadi philosophy. That's practically what we're doing, because all the children are studying Hinduism. And sometimes people, they sometimes say to me, oh, what are you doing preaching Hinduism? Sorry, we're combating Mayavadi philosophy. That's what we're doing. That's what we're meant to be doing. It's not Hinduism that's a threat. It's Mayavadi philosophy that's a threat. because most of Hinduism is Mayavadi, right? That is the threat. And that's, I'm always wary about saying one thing's a threat. I've heard some people say, oh, you know, just this is the thing that's wrong with ISKCON, just this is the wrong thing with ISKCON. It's just New Age, it's just this, it's just that. When you hear the word just, you generally know it's a child speaking. Children absolutely absolutize everything, as it were. They make everything absolute. So there's generally there's no, not just, just one problem. However, in our prayers to Srila Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, they're more or less the same, defeating the Shunyavadis, the scientists defeating the Mayavadi. It's very similar, actually, in many ways. And clearly, that's what Srila Prabhupada is doing, and it's what we should be doing if we're preaching Krishna consciousness. We're standing up for Srila Prabhupada. So, again, of course, preaching or arguing doesn't always mean just arguing. If you remember, Lord Chaitanya defeated the Mayavadis with his beauty. He just sat down at the place where the shoes is washed. I don't know if anyone does that when they come into the temple. Do you ever come and sit down in the shoe room? Yeah, not a very nice place to sit, is it, the shoe room? I generally, when I bring guests in, I kind of apologize about the shoe room. I say, this isn't the most aesthetic part of the temple, right? It's much nicer when you ever, anyone been to the Lotus building in the Baha'i temple in Delhi? When you go there, they take your shoes. I don't know if it's the same, but 14 years ago I went, there's a sort of, you walk along and there's a little sort of, I don't know, a little window, it's sort of foot level, and they just take your shoes and put them in there. When you come out, you get your shoes back, right? You don't have to smell anything, right? It's kind of nicely done, right? So who would sit round down in the shoe room here, right? But Lord Chaitanya, that's what he did. He sat down where they washed their feet. His humility and his beauty. And of course, although he was in the shoe room, he was still shining, right? That was his real weapon. At the same time, he was very bold, preaching with Prakashananda Saraswati afterwards, and he was very bold in his preaching in general. I think there's also a story, I can't remember this, I was just trying to remember it this morning. I'm going again to India after 14 years, and I'm going to go down south because I love the stories of Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya once, I think it was Ramanujacharya, someone can tell me if I'm wrong, but once he was trying to defeat one Mayavadi, and he actually couldn't defeat him. It went on for 11 days or something like that. It was like the Battle of Kurukshetra. It went on longer than expected, you know. And eventually, I think it was after 11 days, he went before his Lord, Lord Ranganath, and he just prayed, and he said, what kind of devotee am I? What kind of a devotee am I? I've been debating with this raving Mayavadi for so many days and I cannot defeat him. Please, please, can you just help me? And then he went into the debate with that mood. And the Mayavadi looked at him and he looked at his countenance, his face, with that humility. And he fell down at his lotus feet and said, please accept me as your disciple. Just his humility, his subservience to the Lord is what actually won the debate, actually. At the same time, we can't be foolish and think we can rely on that. We have to sometimes go in and do our best. I told the story the other day about, I went to a school and I told the story about Jayadratha, the way he fought through all those Akshahini divisions. He made a vow that Arjuna made a vow that he'd kill Jayadratha, otherwise he'd enter fire. He had one day to do it before the sun set. And he fought and he fought and he fought. Of course, I was in the school and I've never told this story before, and I had all these kids in the assembly, so I got one kid as Arjuna. I got one of his mates as Jayadratha. And Jayadratha was the back, and then I realized we had all these kids between us and Jayadratha, right? So we were sort of fighting through all the kids together. Just like Arjuna, he had to fight through thousands of people, and he couldn't quite do it. Just, he was nearly there, but he couldn't, and Krishna helped. He was just that much off. Krishna had to help by making his chakra cover the sun, so Jayadratha looked up, thought the battle was over. And then Krishna took the chakra away. Actually, the sun hadn't set, and at that point, he killed him. But Krishna always makes up for the bit that we can't do. We have to do our best. Actually, Krishna is doing everything, but he wants us to do most of the work. So Ramanuja defeated that way, defeated the Mayavadi. Lord Chaitanya defeated with his beauty and his humility. At the same time, we do have to fight. We are Bhakti Vedantists. Vedanta means knowledge. It's not that we say we're not jnana. That question came up a few days ago. You know, we should give up jnana. Pure Bhakti is free from jnana. But it doesn't mean it's exactly free from jnana. It's full of jnana. It's just free from the desire to get jnana separate from Krishna. That's all. That's all. It's free from that attempt to get knowledge separate from Krishna. But it's full of jnana. It's the end of jnana. Bahunam jamanante. So we're Vedantists. We're Bhakti, but we're Bhakti Vedantists. And of course the greatest philosophy Srila Prabhupada says is Vedanta Sutra, the Brahma Sutras. These little codes. I think we all like little codes, little things of wisdom. I don't know about, on my computer now, I don't like all these apps and things, but I've got one that brings up quotations of, you know, good famous quotations. And I love those little quotations that are full of power, right? Sometimes you get little quotations that just sort of say everything, right? There was one I was telling someone the other day, there was one by Will Rogers, who was a kind of comedian, I think it was a comedian cowboy. But he said, I think it was a good one about Krishna consciousness. He says, even if you're on the right track, if you just sit there, you'll get run over. Right? Even if you're on the right track, even if you just sit there, you'll still get run over, right? So similarly, if you're in Krishna consciousness, you're not safe unless you keep on progressing, right? So there's little sayings. There's so much in them. And you can discuss them. And that's why philosophy is so good, because you can take those sutras, you can take them. Prabhupada says it's like fluffing out cotton. You get cotton. Right? And then you can take it again and you can condense it. It's kind of a lot of fun, right? You can make it into little bits, you can see the essence, and then you can talk about it. Use so many examples. You can make plays about it, you can dance about it, you can see how it relates to everyday life, you can tell stories, you can make jokes about it. Still, you come back to the little sutra. So those aphorisms, Prabhupada says, that Brahma Sutra, the Vedanta Sutra, that's the greatest philosophy in the world. Similarly, he says, Jiva Goswami is the greatest philosopher in the world. We should never forget that when we're in the West. When they talk about philosophy, they generate a load of rubbish compared to Indian philosophy. So they actually, the Mayavadis actually claim they're Vedantists. They actually claim monopoly. But how's knowledge? How does it belong to one person? Does knowledge belong to, can you claim this is my knowledge, right? But they often say, we're Vedantists, right? They actually claim you have to be a Brahmin and a sannyasi actually to have knowledge. Ain't got much of a chance, have we? That's what they claim. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that the Mayavadi, the definition of Mayavadi, who someone who says that Krishna's body and all the things, Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's name, and the process of reaching Krishna, they're all Maya. That's the definition of a Mayavadi. Krishna's body, Krishna's name, Krishna's form, and the process, and what you're doing, it's all Maya. It's very nice that you're coming in, doing these things, getting up for Mangal Arati and coming to class. But one day, if you carry on, you'll understand the real thing. That's what they say. Opposite to Tattvavadis, of course, Tattvavadis and Madhvacharya was the Tattvavadis, where Madhva shown like that, isn't he? Two. He defeated the Mayavadis. Of course, even Lord Chaitanya defeated the Tattvavadis, so we're higher than that. But their summation, they come to the end of Maya, we come to the end of truth. And of course, it says in the Bhagavatam, which is the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, the Bhagavatam is again fluffing out, it's a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, it says so. What it says, real truth is reality, distinguished from illusion. What for? For the welfare of all. You see how the Bhakti is always there. It's not just Vedanta. I'm not just looking at the truth. It's for the welfare. It's the heart and the mind. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Real truth is reality distinguished from illusion. For the welfare of all. above any sectarian thing. If the Mayavad is always worried about anything sectarian, it's for the welfare of all. And that's why we preach, because this Mayavadi philosophy, Srila Prabhupada says, has caused havoc in the world. I love this whole thing about, I like psychology. You know, when you're preaching, you have to use psychology. You can't be a... we have to use everything in the service of the Lord. Some people complain that we shouldn't use psychology, but in the Bhagavatam, it says we should use everything in the service of the Lord. And I love that psychology, how Buddha rejected the Vedas because people were misusing them. It's very clever, isn't it? They're misusing the Vedas, so he rejects them. Then Shankara comes along and he says, no, Buddha was right, but it's in the Vedas. The Buddhists made a mistake, it's actually in the Vedas. So to do that, Shankaracharya had to really twist the Vedas. He had to really twist them. Say, oh, Buddhism's here. But he was doing it as a trick, just to get the Vedas reinstalled. Because without Vedas, there's nothing. Right? Parampara, you know, it's all there. So Srila Prabhupada said it was a timely necessity. And we do that. Sometimes in life, you have absolute truth. Sometimes you have to say a mistruth, or a partial truth. Not necessarily a mistruth, a partial truth. And we do it when we're teaching. With children, we don't give them the false truth straight away, right? Any teacher knows if you try and give everything straight away, right? It won't work. You let someone grasp something. You let them grasp, even if it's partially wrong, because they won't get it otherwise. You let them get something straight away. Just like I always say, you let a child think that you can't have minus numbers, right? Later on you find out you can have negative numbers. You tell a child, you can't take 6 away from 4. It's not true! You're lying! It's not a lie. It's a partial truth. That's why when we're preaching, we must understand who we're preaching to. With Mayavadis, we should have a little antenna. We've got a raving Mayavadi here. Careful, right? And that means we've got to be alert. We've got to be in the mode of goodness. We've got to be conscious. Who are we talking to? Ask them some questions. Find out who they are. Sometimes maybe you can tell straight away, but other times we have to ask questions. Actually, listening wins hearts. If you listen to someone, you win their heart. They owe you something. You listen to someone for half an hour, then they listen afterwards. They'll listen to you, right? Srila Prabhupada did that. Didn't he do that when did it with guests here, I heard? Lord Chaitanya did it when he was preaching to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He listened for 7 days. That's what you call listening. Listened for 7 days. Actually, a pure devotee is free. Like Srila Prabhupada says, and he's like the in autumn. He says sometimes the rivers flow, sometimes they don't flow. So in the same way, a pure devotee can preach, speak, and other times can be silent. Us, we're sort of vajravedan, you know, we've got to speak, right? At least we're speaking about Krishna. But sometimes we have to be careful when we're preaching. We haven't even seen the presence of Mayavadi, and we're wasting our time, right? I don't know if you've ever done this, but I don't think I've had much opportunity. I'd love to do it, but I've had some of my friends that they've been walking along Oxford Street just with their kami clothes on, they met a new devotee, and they haven't let on they're a devotee. Right? And they're sort of preaching to them. Just standing there. Then after half an hour, you say, actually, I'm a Prabhupada disciple. You know, first, you know, I should have asked first, you know, do you know anything about Krishna consciousness before I start telling you things? Actually, I think in the early days we used to say that, because our job is to, like the Sankirtan this morning, that Kirtan this morning, it blows away any Mayavadi philosophy, doesn't it? If we have any doubts, a nice Kirtan just blows everything away. So our real job is spreading Sankirtan, but sometimes we must preach and we must be vigorous. Srila Prabhupada says it's like chutney, right? You don't make a whole meal out of chutney. Chutney's not very popular nowadays. I don't know what's happened to chutney. But when I joined the movement, we used to have a lot of fruit chutney. We had some the other day when we had that special kirtan for 3 hours with the Prabhupada disciples, right? And we had some real nice eggplant sabji with chutney, and it was fantastic. So in the other days, we always used to have these sweet Bengali chutneys, fruit chutneys. And you can't eat a whole meal. Oh, well, I used to eat a whole meal of chutney, I suppose apple chutney, but you're not meant to. So preaching is meant to be like chutney. You need some. You know, sometimes a little bit of an argument sort of gives a bit of taste to Krishna consciousness, but it's not the whole meal. The main thing is to spread Krishna consciousness. Of course, what's the problem with Mayavadi philosophy? Well, in one sense, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's sort of like the air. It permeates everywhere. Just like nowadays, sort of, you know, human rights issues and modern thinking, it's everywhere. I don't know if you've noticed that. You can feel the whole mood in society. It sort of even gets into devotees sometimes. Maybe we have to go with it, but I sometimes question whether it contaminates us sometimes. So I was just thinking, which way does it contaminate us? Everyone speculates all the time. It's this problem with authority. People always have problems with authority. You speak to anyone who's been in the temple for more than a couple of hours, right? We have problems with authority. We have Krishna's a supreme authority. Kali Yuga is about Kali standing there dressed as a king, pretending I'm a king, a king's authority, but he's not, he's a sudra. So in the age of Kali, everyone's presenting themselves as an authority, but actually they're not. And no one wants to listen to anyone. No one wants to accept anyone's the boss. As I said the other day, we all Google it. Right? We want any knowledge. We don't go to people. It's very difficult to find people who know anything, especially on computers. You try finding anyone who knows anything about computers. My emails have been down for a week and no one can do anything about it. Right? No one knows anything. So it's this, I'm the authority. I speculate. I've got my opinion. You go down the pub, people speak in my opinion on everything. Everyone's got opinion on everything. No one says, I don't really know, it's not my field. Let me go and ask someone. That mood's going, it's going down day by day. So why do they meddle with Krishna's words? The Mayavadis, they take Bhagavad Gita, they take the Bhagavatam, and they write their own commentaries. They meddle, they tinker with Krishna's words. And when you think about that, that is a big insult. Imagine if you wrote a book, and then someone came and started changing it. Not only that, but they're trying to make some money out of it. You'd be in big trouble. But they meddle. Have you ever tried to be expressing something and before you've got it out of your mouth, someone says, now let me tell you what you should do. Well, they start evaluating what you're saying. You're just starting to empty your heart to someone and they say, oh, well, I think your problem is, Prabhu. How do you feel? You feel crushed. I don't exist. My feelings and my thoughts aren't worth anything. You've already got it sussed out. You're telling me what I think or feel and you haven't even heard me yet. I don't know if we're doing that to God. We meddle with his words. We take Bhagavad Gita. Why don't you write your own book? You know, if you're going to be a big philosopher, write your own nonsense, you know. But to take Krishna's words and then change it. Of course, Srila Prabhupada gives that famous Ardha Kutanaya, half a chicken, right? They want Krishna, but they don't want Krishna. They want to use Krishna's book to make themselves famous. They want Krishna, they don't want Krishna. Half the chicken. Nice chicken. Gives me eggs, I can make money. But I have to feed it. I don't like feeding it. No Bhagavad Gita, no philosophy, nothing left. Dead. They want to kill Krishna, actually. That's the problem. They want to kill. Krishna says, aham. Aham. I. Sarva Dharma Pritchata. Mame Kam Shanam. Aham. Aham. I. And then they say, no, it's not I. It's not the I we have to surrender. It's the unborn within Krishna. The unborn within you and you and you and me. Don't surrender to Krishna. Surrender to the unborn within everyone. And within me. Right? Just see the cheating. Just see the cheating. They say they're being equal. Me. That's the problem. Actually, it is okay sometimes to speculate. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki. It is okay to speculate when you don't understand something. It's quite simple. I never understood this years ago, but suddenly it's very simple. If you don't understand something, you say, let's see what it means. But if it's obvious, you don't have to do that. I. Aham. I. It's obvious. Krishna's saying I. Why do you have to change it? But we think that's normal. We think it's normal just to interpret something. If I write a play, when I was at school, we used to do study Shakespeare. It's very difficult to understand Shakespeare. Right? So we used to have books to help us understand what he meant. And you can come up with all kinds of theories. Shakespeare, he meant this, he meant this, this represents this, this represents this. But go and ask him what it means. If he was alive, he could tell you. That's the difference between interpretation and explanation. Krishna meant something. Actually, to, just like I was saying, to listen to someone means to have a clean heart. Or at least it trains us to have a clean heart, to listen, to put our own thoughts aside, to forget about ourselves for a little while, to listen to someone else. That's the problem. We need to listen with a clean... My bodies haven't got a clean heart. They're envious like everyone. Srila Prabhupada clearly points out, everyone wants to become God. It's the same business. We want to become God, and some of us might have seen this in our own life. We want to become God. We want to become God by becoming rich and famous and beautiful and handsome and lots of friends. And when it doesn't work, we just go, who cares? I'm God anyway. Right? Same business. Same business. Srila Prabhupada says you cannot become a devotee if you want to be more and more important in a material sense or in a spiritual sense. Either way, same business. Yeah. Was it saying Gita, aham bogi, right? And others are going, aham yogi. Either aham bogi or aham yogi, right? What do we say? Aham rogi. You're a rogi. You're a diseased rogue. And what's the disease? We're envious of Krishna. We don't want to surrender to Krishna. He's the supreme authority. Actually, it's interesting. Author, authority. Who wrote the book? Who's the author? You want to be the authority? No, Krishna wrote it. He's the authority. Actually, you find that people who... We all do this. When we rebel against some injustice or something, we can often say the same injustice is within us if we're not doing it in an honest way. When we criticize others, the criticism within ourselves. I was just listening on the radio the other day, and it's a difficult issue to talk about or deal with. But there were some people who were bisexual, and they were saying that they get discrimination from the gay community because they're not the real thing. Right? So the gay community is very much up in arms against the hetero, you know, we're all... you know, claim to be homophobic and things like that. At the same time, and there might be some truth in that. There might be some truth. There is some truth, I would say. However, the same people can then discriminate against others. That's not the platform that for lack of, you know, for freedom from discrimination. It's not the freedom. As we all know, it's just the other side of the coin. So we tend to project what we don't deal with in our own hearts, we project that fault onto someone else. So the Mayavadis, Prabhupada says they've got lofty, puffed up vanities. Nicely put, isn't it? Lofty, puffed up vanities. You know, they say, Om Namo Narayan. You know, it's like you walking in the shoe room and say, hello God, all right God, how you doing? And you say, hello God. You know, people do that. You tend to put your shoulders around each other and say, hey, you're great, and you're great as well, right? So they say, hello Narayan. And Prabhupada says, we know what kind of Narayan they are. Narayan has four arms. They can't display more than two. They say they're Narayan, but where's your other arms gone? Prove it. What kind of Narayan are you? And then they invent this word, Daridra Narayan. Poor Narayan. When's Narayan poor? He's married to Lakshmi. He hasn't got any problems with his credit cards. So, you know, Daridra Narayan. This is all just bogus speculation. Srila Prabhupada says it's invented by a so-called sannyasi who didn't know anything about Vedanta philosophy. No names mentioned. A so-called sannyasi who didn't know anything about philosophy. So, in this way, the whole world is going and being cheated by this Mayavadi philosophy. I even remember just after I joined the movement, I was on Sankirtan in Birmingham, where I come from, and I went into the cathedral. There is a cathedral in Birmingham, believe it or not. And I went into the cathedral. And there was just this sort of wall with the kind of swirls, and it looked like the beginning of the universe. But it was very Mayavadi, right? You know, it was just like, oh, energy, right? Whereas traditionally there was at least some representation of God as a person. So actually Mayavadis make three mistakes. They make mistakes in three ways. They make mistakes about us, the soul. And what do? They say, we are God. And Shankaracharya says that in the Padma Purana. Jivayo paramatma jivayo ekam. I make the individual soul and the supreme soul equal. So we're all God. We're all God. Because there's three things. There's us, the marginal energy, the superior energy, and there's Maya, the material energy. And the Mayavadis, they make mistakes in all these areas. Quite interesting if you want to analyze this. So when it comes to us and God, they say we are God. When it comes to us and the material world, there's no such thing as the material world. It's just an illusion. Right? And when the material world and God, what do? They say God is... how do they do it? God has become everything. And the result is there's nothing left. But Brihat? And also the Upanishad says it, the same verse. It says, Om Purnamidam Purnamidam Purnamidam. That verse. Sorry, you tear him up and he's still there, right? God becomes many. But surprise, surprise, you've torn him up to little pieces, but he still exists, right? I should write on it, tough luck, my Vardis, I'm still here, right? Right? We tear him up, he's still there. God can make many, but he still remains the one. That's a material concept. To say that I tear something up and the original is gone, that's a material concept. Srila Prabhupada says, the Mayavadis are thinking materially. They're saying, no, God's not male, God's not female, solve that problem. God's not rich, God's not poor, solve that problem, right? It does solve a problem. We don't want God to be materialistic. They have a point. God is nirguna. That is a fact. We don't want to make God into our material concepts. That is a very good point. It's a very good point. But within the material energy, not accepting any spiritual input, all you can come to is Brahman realization at the moment. At the most, you can push everything away. It's not, and come to God's Niguna, Brahman. But unless there's some acceptance of transcendental knowledge, they can't go beyond that. So what they do is, if you want to become better than anyone, there's two ways to become better. You either become better than everyone, or you put them all down and you destroy them. At least you destroy them mentally. So what do? They destroy God. They say, no, God's not this, not that. They come to the Brahman platform. And at least I'm there as well. Right? But they don't go beyond. That's the highest thing. Therefore, using one's mind, at the most, one can negate material nature. And if you negate something, what do? You end up with just a material concept still. It's still a material concept. Again, like if you base your arguments on countering someone else's arguments, that's not very good. And you know, in arguments, well, I did that because you did that. Right? I'm right because you're wrong. Right? It's almost that mentality at a very high level. I'm right because you're wrong, right? But actually, there's no actual... I better stick this together again. I think it was something my wife gave me. I'll be in trouble if I don't. It's not spiritual. And of course, there's many arguments in that. We haven't got time to go over all the arguments now, but we should know some of that. That's one of the arguments we can use. So, Bhagavad Gita clearly says it. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Shabdita. He says there's three stages of the absolute truth. Krishna says, Matak parataram nanyas. There's nothing above me. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the source of the Brahman. What's the other verses? Manushim tanamashintam parambhav majanantam. Fools deride me when I appear in this being. Fools. Vyaktim vyaktin apanam. Vyaktim manite buddhi. A buddhi is it? A buddhi? Can't remember that verse. Parambhav Majananto. Both those verses say that. They deny my Parambhava, my supreme being. So one place they're called foolish, the other place they're called less intelligent. So, Hiranmayena Patrena, Upanishad says it, I am the source, that Brahman is my energy. Actually, sometimes the Mayavadis, they reject Bhagavad Gita, because it's easy to prove Mayavadi philosophy with Vedanta Sutra, or fairly easy, with Shankaracharya's help, but Bhagavad Gita is pretty difficult, so they reject it. But actually they accept the Upanishads, but actually in the Chandogya Upanishad it says, 7.14 I think it is, it says, I can't remember the sun, Pancha something, the fifth Veda is the Mahabharata, which includes the Bhagavad Gita. So even though they say they accept Shruti and reject Smriti, if you go to the Shruti, it says Smriti is the fifth. So they contradict themselves. So Śrīla Prabhupāda says, Vedanta. But what are Vedantas? Ve means without. Danta means teeth. We have the word dentist, right? So he says that the great Acharyas, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbarka, Vishnu Swami, Lord Chaitanya, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Maharaj, Saraswati Maharaj, Śrīla Prabhupāda, what have they done? They've preached vigorously against this Mayavadi philosophy and they've smashed the teeth out of them. So they are Vedantists. They've got no teeth left. All right. Any questions, please?